Open Season burst onto the literary scene in 2001, introducing readers to the rugged world of Wyoming game warden Joe Pickett. This debut novel by C.J. Box quickly became a sensation, launching what would become one of the most beloved mystery series in contemporary fiction. The book earned Box the prestigious Anthony Award and established him as a master of the modern Western thriller. Stephen King has praised Box's work as terrific, while the Wall Street Journal called the Joe Pickett series one of today's solid gold standard bearers in crime fiction. What makes this series particularly compelling is Box's authentic portrayal of the American West, drawing from his own experiences as a Wyoming native and former ranch hand, hunting guide, and fishing guide. The Joe Pickett novels have developed a cult following among outdoor enthusiasts and mystery lovers alike, with over 10 million copies sold worldwide and a television adaptation starring Michael Dorman bringing the character to an even wider audience. Joe Pickett stands apart in the landscape of fictional detectives. Unlike the hard-drinking, rule-breaking protagonists that populate crime fiction, Joe is defined by his unwavering moral compass and commitment to doing what's right, even when it costs him professionally. This ethical stubbornness makes him both admirable and vulnerable in a world where compromise often paves the path to success. His dedication to wildlife conservation and law enforcement reflects a deeper connection to the land and its creatures, setting him apart from the cynical detectives who dominate the genre. The novel opens with Joe's humiliating encounter with outfitter Oat Keeley, who takes Joe's service weapon during a confrontation over poached deer. Rather than killing the game warden, Oat returns the gun, an act of mercy that nonetheless damages Joe's reputation and results in a formal reprimand. This incident perfectly encapsulates Joe's predicament. His commitment to enforcing wildlife laws puts him at odds with local traditions and economic interests, while his by-the-book approach earns him little respect from colleagues who navigate gray areas with ease. The aftermath of this encounter reverberates throughout the department, with fellow wardens viewing him as naive or incompetent, while local hunters see him as an obstacle to their way of life. Joe's financial struggles further highlight his principled nature. Living in a modest state-owned house with his wife Mary Beth and daughters Sheridan and Lucy, he can barely make ends meet on a game warden's salary. The family's credit card is nearly maxed out, and Joe feels the weight of his inability to provide the lifestyle his college-educated wife deserves. Their home's aging appliances, the girls' growing needs, and Mary Beth's careful budgeting serve as constant reminders of their precarious financial situation. Yet he refuses to compromise his values for financial gain, even as he watches his former mentor, Vern Dunnigan, triple his income by switching to the private sector. The contrast between Dunnigan's newfound wealth and Joe's steadfast commitment to public service underscores the real-world costs of maintaining one's principles. What makes Joe's character so compelling is that his moral code isn't born of naivety, but of conscious choice. He understands the temptations and pressures around him, but chooses integrity anyway, knowing full well the personal cost. When he tells his wife, "I'm not cut out for this kind of thing, playing politics, schmoozing," it's not an admission of weakness, but a declaration of identity. His daily interactions with corrupt officials, wealthy landowners offering bribes, and fellow officers willing to look the other way only strengthen his resolve. In a world where ethical flexibility is rewarded, Joe's rigidity makes him simultaneously a hero and an outsider, the last of a dying breed of public servants who believe their oath means something. The heart of Open Season lies not just in its mystery, but in how violence invades the sanctuary of the Pickett family home. When Oat Keeley's bloody corpse appears on Joe's woodpile clutching a mysterious cooler of animal droppings, the barrier between Joe's professional dangers and his family's safety shatters irreparably. This violation of domestic space becomes a powerful metaphor for the novel's exploration of vulnerability and protection. The woodpile, a symbol of warmth and provision, becomes contaminated by death. Joe's daughter Sheridan's nightmare about a monster in their yard eerily prefigures Oates' appearance, blurring the line between childhood fears and real-world threats. The bloodstains on their walkway will remain for months to come, a physical reminder that no place is truly safe. Joe's anguish is palpable as he realizes that Oate Keeley had violated their sanctuary and that his daughters will never again feel completely secure in their home. Mary Beth emerges as the family's emotional anchor amid this crisis. Practical and resilient, she manages the household while Joe pursues his investigation, even as she harbors unspoken frustrations about their financial limitations. When Joe faces professional disgrace and contemplates Vern's job offer, Mary Beth reveals her depth of character, telling him, "All is not lost. You have me. You have your family. You have character." This affirmation in their darkest hour demonstrates that true security comes not from physical barriers, but from bonds of loyalty and love. The stakes escalate dramatically when Mary Beth is shot and their unborn son killed, transforming Joe's professional investigation into a deeply personal quest for justice. The image of Joe breaking down in the hospital bathroom, wailing for the first time in his life, strips away the stoic facade of the Western lawman, revealing the raw humanity beneath. This vulnerability doesn't diminish Joe's strength, but rather humanizes it, showing that true courage includes acknowledging pain rather than suppressing it. By the novel's end, the Pickett family has expanded to include April Keeley, Oates' orphan daughter, a redemptive act that transforms tragedy into healing. This adoption symbolizes the novel's ultimate message about family, that it's defined not by blood or circumstance, but by choice and commitment, even in the face of danger. At the heart of Open Season's mystery lies the Miller's Weasel, a fictional, endangered species that becomes the catalyst for murder, corporate intrigue, and environmental activism. The discovery of this rare creature sets in motion a chain of events that reveals how wildlife conservation can become weaponized in battles over land use and economic development. The Miller's Weasel serves as the perfect MacGuffin, valuable enough to kill for, yet small and obscure enough to be easily overlooked. When Joe discovers a killing field with 26 mounds containing blocked holes, spent casings, and illegal poisons, he realizes he's found the site of a deliberate extermination campaign against the last colony of these endangered creatures. The systematic nature of this slaughter points to a calculated strategy rather than casual poaching. Bach masterfully uses the weasel controversy to explore the complex tensions between environmental protection and economic development. Vern Dunnigan's pipeline scheme for InterWest Resources represents the economic promise of natural resource extraction, jobs, tax revenue, and prosperity for a struggling community. The discovery of an endangered species habitat would trigger federal protection under the Endangered Species Act, effectively halting the pipeline and any other development in the area. The novel avoids simplistic portrayals of either environmentalists or developers as villains. Instead, it presents the conflict as a clash of legitimate values, conservation versus economic survival, that becomes corrupted when individuals pursue these goals through illegal means. As Vern explains to Joe, when billions of dollars are at stake, people will do things they wouldn't normally do. This moral compromise extends to both sides, with Vern willing to orchestrate murder to protect his pipeline deal, while environmental activists later exploit the weasel's protection status with little regard for local livelihoods. The epilogue reveals the far-reaching consequences of the weasel's discovery. Federal judges imposed moratoriums on all activities, environmental groups filed briefs, the weasels gained endangered species status. The result is devastating for the local economy, approximately 400 local jobs lost, illustrating how environmental protection can come at a significant human cost. Yet Joe's decision to secretly relocate a family of weasels to a protected valley, away from the designated ecosystem, represents a middle path that preserves both the species and human autonomy from excessive regulation. Through this nuanced portrayal of environmental conflict, Bach challenges readers to consider the complex trade-offs between conservation and development, suggesting that rigid ideological positions on either side fail to address the messy realities of life in the American West. Open Season delivers a scathing examination of institutional corruption through its portrayal of law enforcement figures who betray their oaths. The novel's most chilling villains aren't outsiders, but trusted insiders, Wacy Hedeman and Vern Dunnigan, men who wear badges and claim to serve the public while pursuing their own interests. Wacy Hedeman initially appears as Joe's friendly colleague, offering support and advice. His betrayal cuts deeper because of this established trust. When Sheridan realizes the man shooting her mother is Wacy Hedeman, her father's friend, the violation of faith is complete. Wacy's transformation from ally to predator reveals how easily authority can be corrupted when personal ambition overrides professional duty. Vern Dunnigan represents a more sophisticated form of corruption. As Joe's former mentor, he embodies the cynical pragmatism that Joe refuses to adopt. Vern justifies his ethical compromises as simply understanding the real world, where nice things don't necessarily happen to nice people. His betrayal of Joe, dangling a job offer only to withdraw it after Joe becomes politically toxic, demonstrates how loyalty becomes expendable when it conflicts with self-interest. Sheriff Barnum embodies a milder but still troubling form of institutional failure. More concerned with his re-election than thorough investigation, he allows Joe to pursue leads largely to keep him occupied rather than out of genuine interest in justice. His casual dismissal of Joe's concerns reveals how political calculation can undermine law enforcement's primary mission. The novel's portrayal of corruption extends beyond individuals to systems. The Game and Fish Department's willingness to scapegoat Joe for the gun incident rather than address broader issues of poaching enforcement reflects institutional self-protection at the expense of justice. Similarly, the corporate machinations behind the pipeline project show how economic power can corrupt democratic processes through backroom deals and political influence. What makes this exploration of corruption particularly effective is that it avoids cartoonish villainy. Wacy and Vern aren't evil for its own sake, but have succumbed to temptations that any person might face: money, power, recognition. Their corruption stems from moral compromise rather than inherent wickedness, making it both more believable and more disturbing. As Joe tells the wounded Wacy, "I want you to live with what you've done," suggesting that accountability, not revenge, is the proper response to betrayal of trust. The Wyoming landscape in Open Season isn't merely a backdrop, but a living presence that shapes characters' choices and challenges their survival. Bach writes with the intimate knowledge of someone who's walked these mountains, creating a setting so vivid, readers can almost feel the thin mountain air in their lungs and the crunch of pine needles underfoot. The novel opens with Joe building an elk fence against the backdrop of sagebrush sea and pine-studded mountains, immediately establishing the wild terrain as integral to the story. This is a place of stunning beauty and constant danger, where weather can turn deadly in minutes and help may be hours away. When Joe investigates the outfitters' camp, he must contend not just with human suspects, but with the elements themselves. Cold nights, difficult terrain, and wild animals that have reclaimed the abandoned camp. The mountain wilderness serves as both refuge and threat. For Sheridan, hiding from Wacy on the mountain wrapped in a horse blanket, the landscape offers protection even as it threatens her with exposure and starvation. For the Miller's weasels, the remote mountain bowl provides a last sanctuary from human encroachment, while simultaneously making them vulnerable to targeted extermination due to their isolation. Box's descriptions capture the contradictions of the Western landscape, its vastness and intimacy, beauty and harshness. The pristine mountain bowl where Joe discovers the weasel killing field is described as untouched and beautiful, with old-growth trees and spring-fed pools, yet it becomes the site of methodical destruction. This juxtaposition of natural splendor and human cruelty heightens the novel's moral tensions. The seasonal cycle provides a structural framework for the narrative, beginning in fall and concluding in spring. Joe's reflection that spring in Wyoming is a cruel joke where heavy snow can still fall and kill emerging life encapsulates the region's unforgiving nature. This harsh reality shapes the mindset of those who live there, fostering self-reliance, resourcefulness, and a certain fatalism about nature's power. Perhaps most significantly, the wilderness in Open Season represents contested terrain claimed by competing interests for different purposes. For Joe, it's a public trust to be protected. For outfitters like Ote, it's a source of livelihood. For corporations like Interwest, it's a route for resource extraction. For environmentalists, it's habitat to be preserved. These conflicting claims on the land drive the novel's central conflicts, reflecting real tensions in the contemporary American West, where questions of who controls public lands and for what purpose remain fiercely debated. Joe Pickett's unwavering commitment to his principles exacts a heavy personal toll throughout Open Season. His refusal to compromise or look the other way, qualities that make him admirable, repeatedly result in professional setbacks, financial hardship, and even physical danger for himself and his family. The novel opens with Joe already suffering the consequences of his by-the-book approach. His arrest of the governor for fishing without a license, technically correct but politically disastrous, has made him a laughingstock among locals and a pariah within his department. Rather than learning to navigate the system more strategically, Joe doubles down on his straightforward enforcement of the law, earning him the reputation of being clean as a whistle pig, but limiting his career prospects. Joe's financial struggles directly result from his ethical choices. Unlike Vern, who triples his salary by moving to the private sector, Joe remains committed to public service despite the modest pay. His wife Mary Beth's unspoken frustration when speaking with college friends who can afford private schools and vacations highlights the material sacrifices the family makes for Joe's principles. When he briefly considers accepting Vern's job offer, it's not from ethical wavering, but from the weight of responsibility to provide better for his family. The professional consequences of Joe's integrity mount throughout the novel. His summons to a hearing about alleged negligence with a department-issued sidearm threatens suspension from field duty, a punishment for being disarmed by Ote rather than for any actual misconduct. Later, when Vern withdraws his job offer because Joe has become politically toxic, we see how the system punishes those who refuse to play by its unwritten rules. The most devastating cost comes when Wacy shoots Mary Beth, killing their unborn son and potentially leaving her with spinal injuries. This violence against his family represents the ultimate price of Joe's principles. His pursuit of truth has made powerful enemies willing to strike at his most vulnerable point. Joe's breakdown in the hospital bathroom reveals the emotional toll of standing alone against corruption when the consequences affect those he loves most. Yet the novel ultimately affirms that principle, despite its costs, remains worth defending. Mary Beth's declaration that you have character validates Joe's choices even in their darkest hour. His reinstatement with a commendation and salary increase suggests that integrity, while often punished in the short term, may eventually be recognized. Most importantly, the family emerges from their ordeal closer rather than bitter, having discovered that their bonds can withstand even the most severe tests. Open Season explores a fundamental tension between legal justice and moral justice, suggesting that sometimes the letter of the law fails to deliver true accountability. Throughout the novel, characters make judgments and take actions based on their own moral calculations rather than strictly adhering to legal frameworks. Joe's confrontation with Wacy and Vern in the climactic scene exemplifies this theme. Rather than killing Wacy, which would be legally justified as self-defense, Joe deliberately shoots to wound, telling him, "I didn't kill you because I want you to live with what you've done." This choice reflects a deeper sense of justice than mere punishment. Joe wants Wacy to face the moral consequences of his actions rather than escape them through death. Similarly, by shooting Vern in the hip rather than fatally, Joe ensures that both men will face public exposure and shame, a form of justice that may prove more meaningful than prison sentences. The novel repeatedly shows how formal legal processes fail to deliver justice. Sheriff Barnum's cursory investigation of O'Day's death, more concerned with quick closure than truth, illustrates how law enforcement can prioritize convenience over thoroughness. The Game and Fish Department's willingness to scapegoat Joe for losing his weapon demonstrates how institutions protect themselves rather than pursuing genuine accountability. These failures of formal systems justify, to some extent, Joe's decision to operate outside normal channels in his investigation. The epilogue reveals mixed results from the legal aftermath. Vern becomes a media figure, commenting on the Endangered Species Act rather than facing prosecution, while Wacy remains free but socially ostracized as the lone arm of the law. Assistant Director Les Ettbauer resigns rather than facing formal consequences. These outcomes suggest that public reputation and personal conscience often deliver more meaningful justice than courts and prisons. Perhaps the most striking example of justice beyond law comes in Joe's decision to secretly relocate a family of Miller's weasels away from the designated ecosystem. This act, technically a federal crime that could land him in federal prison, represents a moral calculation that both the weasels and the local economy deserve protection. By finding a middle path between strict preservation and unrestricted development, Joe delivers a form of justice that the rigid legal framework cannot accommodate. Through these examples, Bach suggests that true justice requires moral judgment rather than mere rule following. In the complex ethical landscape of the American West, where competing values of conservation, economic development, and individual rights collide, sometimes the most just solution lies outside formal legal structures. The epilogue of Open Season shifts from the novel's tense action to a more reflective tone, exploring how individuals and communities rebuild after trauma. Set in spring, the season of renewal, this final section examines what survives after violence and betrayal have run their course. The Miller's weasels serve as a powerful symbol of resilience and rebirth. Despite the deliberate extermination campaign that wiped out most of their population, some have survived and even thrived. The weasel Sheridan named Elway has produced 10 kits, 8 of which survived, a sign of nature's persistent regenerative power even in the face of human interference. Joe's plan to transplant them to a protected valley represents hope for their continued survival away from both poachers and excessive regulation. The Pickett family demonstrates similar resilience. Mary Beth's recovery from her gunshot wound progresses from wheelchair to assisted walking, reflecting her determination to heal. The family has expanded to include April Keeley as a foster child after Otet's widow left the county, transforming tragedy into new beginnings. Rather than becoming bitter from their ordeal, the family has grown closer, suggesting that adversity can strengthen bonds rather than breaking them. The broader community, however, faces more complex consequences. The designation of approximately 80 square miles as the Miller's Weasel ecosystem has resulted in approximately 400 local jobs lost, a significant blow to the region's economy. The Interwest pipeline has been abandoned, eliminating potential economic development. These outcomes reflect the difficult trade-offs between environmental protection and human livelihoods that offer no simple resolution. Joe's final reflections on how people project human qualities onto animals through transference and sometimes value animals over people points to a deeper philosophical question about how we balance our obligations to nature and to each other. His illegal relocation of the weasels represents a personal attempt to find this balance, protecting both the species and human autonomy from rigid regulatory frameworks. The novel's final image of Joe and Sheridan planning to visit the transplanted weasels together in summer offers a quiet moment of hope and connection. Despite all they've endured, father and daughter still find wonder in the natural world and joy in sharing it with each other. This simple pleasure, appreciating wildlife together, reminds readers that amid political conflicts and environmental debates, our personal relationships with nature and each other remain sources of meaning and renewal.